Koviac. And he started his article with two questions that I'm going to share with you this afternoon. The first question was, how did the 12 apostles change from men who ran for their lives when their master, talking about Jesus Christ, was arrested, to giants of faith willing to die if need be for their Lord and Savior? And then the second question he posed at the beginning of that article was, how did Peter and the rest of the apostles get to the point where they could proclaim they were willing to obey God rather than men, even if it meant imprisonment and possibly death? So as I alluded to, we're obviously here on the day of Pentecost. You probably have surmised the answer to those two questions to some degree or another, and that answer having something to do with God's Holy Spirit. We know that the Feast of Pentecost is, among several things, a celebration of what some might agree would be one of the greatest miracles of all time, and that is the giving of God's Holy Spirit. We know that this day is a reminder to each of us that God works through us, those that have been baptized, through the power of His Holy Spirit. Now, some religions would have us believe that the Holy Spirit is a person or a separate being or some special being, but we know that the Holy Spirit, it's not a person. It's not a special, powerful being. We understand that God's Holy Spirit is nothing less than the very essence of God's perfect nature, God's character, God's power, influence, and authority. I'm going to also follow Mr. Lambert's lead and use way too many scriptures probably in a sermonette, so I probably won't give you a whole lot of time to turn there. You can jot them down and maybe reference them later. But the first one we're going to take a look at, which we all know very well, is Acts 1, verse 8. This is where Christ reveals some instructions to his disciples. He said, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." Here Christ gave a promise of the giving of the Holy Spirit. And we know that this was fulfilled just a couple of days later in Acts 2, verse 38 and 39. Acts 2, verse 38 and 39, it says, "Repent and let each of you be baptized in the nature of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall come to himself." So here we read that the Holy Spirit is a gift. And on that first day of Pentecost, it was a gift to roughly 3,000 people on that particular day. But we know that that gift was not reserved only for those 3,000 on the Feast of Pentecost. It was reserved for all of those who have been called by God, those who repent and then eventually become baptized. Peter continued in verse 40 of Acts 2. It says, "With many other words he warned them." Not only did he warn them, he pleaded with them, it says, that "save yourself from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Brethren, once they received the Holy Spirit, they allowed themselves to be led by that Holy Spirit. They separated themselves from the corruption of their generation, which was referenced in Acts 2, verse 40, and they began doing good works. They changed their lives as a result of the acceptance of God's Holy Spirit. We know that part of our responsibility as baptized members is to turn our ways around, to turn from the ways of this world, to lead a new life, a life that follows God, in the example of our elder brother, Jesus Christ. Having received God's Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost, the people, again, were being led now by the Spirit. They made such dramatic changes in their lives, which positively impacted not only themselves, but those people around them, that it was said that they turned the world upside down. Acts 17:6 is where we read that. It says, "And when they found them, they drew Jason and certain brothers to the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come here also.'" So it says, brethren, when we look at us and the works that we've done, will the people around us say that we've turned the world upside down? This world we know is in a state of rapid decline. We see that every time we turn on the news. Many of us, not us, but people of the world have come so far from a life that follows the way of God that we as a church and as brethren, we need to stick together. We need to make sure that we follow each other. We follow Jesus Christ. We follow the examples that are contained within the Bible. And we need to follow God's Holy Spirit. I want you to think back to when you were baptized. You were full of zeal. You were full of desire to live God's way of life, no matter what it took. You were excited about your new lease on life. It's called by God, as many of us were. We answered that call, and now we can be considered one of God's sons and daughters, which Romans 18:14 tells us. Brethren, we need to understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. Oftentimes, I'll have kids come in my office, and when middle school kids do dumb things, I tell them, you need to be a leader instead of a follower. But sometimes, brethren, we need to maybe not be that leader, but we need to sometimes learn how to follow. Being a follower is not always a bad thing in this situation. We know that God's Spirit, it doesn't drive us. It doesn't kick us down the road. It doesn't push us around. God's Spirit leads us. God's Spirit leads us. It won't prevent us from sinning, nor will it force us to do what is right all of the time, but it does lead us down the correct path, down the path to following God, as long as we allow that to happen. We are now part of God's family, and with that comes responsibility. We must continue our zeal and drive towards God's kingdom through growing in grace, growing in knowledge and righteousness. Being a part of a family means upholding that family name. We got quite a name to uphold, brethren. We got to make sure that we uphold the name and the family of God. Paul states in Romans 8:9 that if you don't have the Spirit dwelling in you, then you do not belong to God. I never really focused on that scripture all that much. It really hit me as I was preparing for this sermonette. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, Romans 8:9 says. If so, be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Brethren, we must allow God through his Spirit to rule over our lives. The Holy Spirit must be allowed to become that energizing force in our lives that produces that true quality of Christianity. We must ask ourselves if we are truly being led by God's Spirit and if we are allowing it to serve as that guiding force in our lives. We know that God inspires men through his Holy Spirit. That's throughout the pages of the Bible. Repeatedly in the scriptures, it's revealed that God imparts his divine inspiration to his prophets and servants through the Holy Spirit. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, it tells us that. 2 Peter 1, verse 21, it says, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God who spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. God continually reveals his plans and speaks to his servants through the Holy Spirit. Jesus told us in John 14, 26, that we will come to understand God's word through his Holy Spirit. That's what makes us a little bit different than those in the world, that we had the opportunity and the ability to understand his words because of God's Holy Spirit working within us. John 14, 26, it says, but the Comforter, another word or name for the Holy Spirit, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said to you. If we are to learn, understand and live the way of God, we need to follow God's Holy Spirit. I know it can be difficult at times to follow any leader, but especially someone that we can't necessarily see. We see the works of God, we see God's Holy Spirit working within us, but something tangible sometimes can be difficult. Gallup conducted some research on why people follow a leader. It was several years ago. And they conducted this research. They asked tens of thousands of people, what makes a good leader? Why do you follow a particular leader? And what they found was there was four overarching characteristics that determine whether or not somebody would be willing to follow. The first one was trust. The second, compassion. The third, stability. And the fourth is hope. So what I'd like to do is, in the remaining few minutes that we have here, is just touch upon each of those four characteristics as they relate to God and the Holy Spirit. Trust is the basis of a well-functioning relationship, the research found. It said the ability to trust a leader is essential if people are willing to follow. Brethren, the question is, which we certainly know the answer to, can we trust in God and the Holy Spirit? Many, many scriptures that reference that, but one I chose was Psalms 52, verse 8. Psalm 52, verse 8. It says, but I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. It's pretty easy to trust a leader that's described as unfailing. When you look to leaders, you don't want a leader that's going to let you down. It says right here, God is unfailing forever and ever. So God is never going to let us down. In Isaiah 25, we also read that men trusted in God. It says, in that day they will say, surely this is our God, we trusted in him. And because we trusted in him, he saved us. This is the Lord, we trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Brethren, when we trust in God, he takes care of us. He answers our prayers. He sets our minds at ease because we are assured that he will follow through on all of those promises that he has made to us. The second characteristic was compassion. Gallup discovered that compassion was absolutely necessary for somebody to follow a leader. We know that people want leaders who care about them as people. According to Gallup research, they researched 10,000 employees and they asked them, what do great leaders contribute to your lives? They said, caring, friendship, happiness, and love. God shows all of those. God shows compassion and love for each of us and all of those who are willing to follow him and his Holy Spirit. Exodus 34:6, it says, and he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. We could spend many, many hours reading through scriptures that talk about God's love for us and the love that he has for each and every one of us. But we don't have time. Number three, stability. Number three was stability. Gallup described stability, and the folks that they talked to described it as security, strength, support, and peace. Strength, stability, support, and peace. They wanted a leader that provided those things. We know that people want stability in their lives. It's certainly important when the world is getting more and more challenging. People always look for something stable in their lives. We're living in difficult times, and we know that the only way we can make it through is to have that trust in God and to follow him and be led by the Holy Spirit. It's pretty clear that God has provided stability for each and every one of us. Look at Romans 8, verse 14. Romans 8, verse 14. It says, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. God does provide that stability that each and every one of us are looking for. And it tells us if we live by the Spirit and not the flesh, that we will share in God's glory. The final thing that Gallup uncovered was hope. When you think of hope, God should immediately come to mind. Followers, according to Gallup, want to know that there's a future. You don't join a company or an organization that you think is going to be bankrupt in a couple of months. You want stability in that organization. We joined God's family. We joined God's church knowing that there is hope. That what we see today is not what we're going to see at some point in the future. We have hope that God is going to take care of us between now and the end times, and then when those end times occur, that we will be part of his kingdom. We have that hope. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." So having the Holy Spirit within us provides us hope, brethren. Brethren, we have been blessed with God's Holy Spirit. Without God's Holy Spirit, we have no chance of living his way of life and reaching his kingdom. We know we can't do it on our own. We need help. God's Holy Spirit is sometimes called the helper as well. God's Holy Spirit is his power working for us as long as we are willing to follow. We need to allow ourselves to be led by God's Holy Spirit so that we can count ourselves as God's sons and daughters, so that we can separate ourselves from this corrupt generation and be the light to the world that God expects. Brethren, we need to turn the world upside down, as we read earlier, as those who received the Holy Spirit on that day of Pentecost. Brethren, God is the perfect leader. He provides his followers trust. He provides us compassion, stability, and hope. So, brethren, as we go into the world at the conclusion of this service, let us go knowing that we have the perfect leader. Let us follow God knowing that his Holy Spirit will guide us towards his kingdom.